Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Stew on This podcast. And today we're going to have a super fun conversation with a buddy of mine that I've known for a couple of years now who is doing something truly amazing, in my opinion. But I'm going to let him tell you all about what it is that he's doing because it's his story to tell, not mine. But with me today is Joey Santos. And Joey is, well, you know what, Joey, welcome to the podcast. You tell people who you are, what you do, give us your backstory, and then we'll dive further into our conversation, man.
Awesome. Stuart, how you doing? Thanks, man. I appreciate the invitation to be here. Man, it's interesting enough, I'm now a pastor, been a pastor for many years. But I think the difference here is that I'm leading a church in a bar. And that's exactly it. That's what it is. We're having a church and call church at the bar. You know, it's we kind of want to make sure it's very local, right? So people knew what we were doing. But around 5 years ago, we started a ministry, online ministry, actually. Like it started out of an online ministry. And the idea is through the online ministry, we want to get people from online to offline. And then through that, we start planting house churches through the online ministry. And, you know, we got surprised by the opportunity of this bar owner just probably 5 miles down from the church building. And he said, hey, I want to do something positive through my business, through the bar. You guys think there's something there that you guys can help as a church? You know, and we're, you know, thinking about church to house churches. And I said, well, we can take the house church model into a bar. But honestly, when I said that to him, I said more like a joke. I said, I mean, we do house churches. We could do church there at the bar. He's like, man, that sounds good. Can we make it happen? Let's go ahead and make it happen. I was like, come on there. I was literally serious. Like, no. I think it's a great idea. Let's do it. So we started doing it. We set up Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. It very simple. And we never done anything like it before. Never done anything like it before. So it was a bumpy start. You know, we didn't know exactly what we were doing. I never done church planting before. But the idea was just to be just like another house campus. So we did what we knew we could do. And we did a lot of things that did not work, but we started learning from them the things that actually could work. But then, you know, as things progressed, I realized it was just like being there Sunday after Sunday and realizing the potential of really like connecting with people. Because when you walk around the bar and there are signs, just like beer signs, we have signs as church to the bar Sundays at 10 a.m. And the number one question people ask, like, is that a joke? And that's an opportunity to say, no, it's actually not a joke. We're just here, want to meet with people, talk to people. And people are like, really? And that literally, that sign on the walls alone is what brings people the most. Because people are really curious. They're just curious about the church to the bar. And they come in. So I saw that, it really started to change my perspective a little bit in terms of the opportunity. It was like, man, there's an opportunity to really reach people where they are. That's what online church does. Online church reach people where they are, right? VR church, you're meeting people where they are. You're just going right there and connecting with them without, you know, saying, hey, if you want to connect with me, come to my building. Now, digital ministry is like, you know, church online and VR and ministries like Church the Bar, you're just going where they are. And I really said, you know what I mean? We're going to have to do something here to make this really go. And that's when things got crazy. And what I mean with that is that February last year, that's when I decided to leave the full-time paid ministry and dedicate, you know, focus on the ministry of the church, the bar, but then I got to make a living. Well, this is where it gets really fun. the owners of the bar offered me a job. And they're like, why don't you come and work here? And you can make a living here. And at the same time, you can do ministry. So I tell people, I never left the full-time ministry. I just don't get paid to do it anymore. and it becomes this perfect thing. So, you know, I'm there running the business at the bar. And I hear people say, hey, the sign, you know, they talk to a bartender or they talk to a server. Say, hey, that sign turns the bar. Is that for real? It's like, yeah, that's for real. See there, the guy right there. Yeah, he's the pastor. And that triggers, you know what I mean? Like, I'm right there. And all of a sudden, we're having this whole church conversation in the middle of a work day, which I was never able to do that before from a church office. Mm-hmm. I talk about church every day. I talk about Jesus every day. It's not a weird thing. And the thing that after 5 years doing this, one of the things that still impresses me the most because of our current culture is that now at the bar, it's not weird on a Saturday night we're jam-packed. You know, we have a summers here, so we have a big patio, live music. We can have up to 800 people just in the patio.
Wow.
And it's people that know what I do on a Sunday, you know, morning. It's not weird on a Saturday night. People come to me and say, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going through this or that. And I can just literally lay hands on people in the middle of the bar where people are doing all the, you know, drinking and dancing and all that. And it's not, people are looking at and they don't think it's weird because now they know what we do and who we are. It became like a good reputation for the bar and the restaurant, like that we actually do this and we're not ashamed of it. Now we had to build that. That was a long-term relationship with the bar, with the staff and the community to understand what we're doing, why we're doing. And now it's a common thing. So it's just fun to know, you get pulled aside and like, I'm going through this thing and man, I heard you guys are doing here so good. Can you pray for me? Can you? It's like, yeah, absolutely. And we'll pray right there. Yeah. That's what we're doing, doing ministry like this. And it's a very, very, I'm still learning every day how this whole thing works.
Yeah, dude, I love it so much. I guess my question for you at this point would be, 5 years into this, do you have people, like, are primarily the people that are coming to church at the bar, are they like patrons that were showing up just to drink the night before or sometime during the week? Or do you now have like an invite culture of people who have been coming for the past however long, 5 years, 4, 3, 2, 1, whatever, they're now saying, hey, do you want to go with me to the bar on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
not to drink, but you know, like, exactly. Do you have an invite culture now?
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. From 5 years ago, I'm the only person that is there now. And I think, again, this is, I want to be very careful. I don't want people to think that I'm trying to communicate the something wrong related to the established church. But I think that one of the things that we learned is that we could not replicate what was happening in a church building, a traditional church, in a bar setting. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do in the beginning. So we did everything that the traditional church would do when the church planting. We select a group of people from the established church, right? And like 15, 20 people and say, we're going to start this ministry. We're going to need you to attend church every Sunday in a bar. And the idea was, as people see people in there, they're going to attract more people. Mm-hmm. It didn't take too long for two things to happen. One, the people that are used to the traditional way of doing church realized that was not a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. So slowly we start losing that launching group because they're like, I want to go back and I want to, you know, do the things that I'm used to do as a church, which that's fine. But the second thing we learned was replicating the service in that environment really would not attract anybody that was trying to look for some answers. And that's where we changed that. That's where we, after couple years of, you know, trying to literally just replicate a service model, we realized this is not working. So the thing that we changed was, one of the things that we changed was we got to, one, remove the music. Because the audience that we're trying to connect, they don't know any of the worship songs that we sing. It's just uncomfortable. You know, it was just uncomfortable. People were just standing there, or it was an opportunity to leave because everybody, some people were distracted. So we removed the music. The second thing that we did, we, instead of sitting there listening to a message, we broke down the message into three or four parts, asked questions, and now we're going to talk about it. So now they participate in that conversation of the message. And what we became, what we turned into, it was this biblical teaching with real life questions. So immediately that teaching becomes applicable. Mm-hmm. And that's what we kind of like attach ourselves to that style. So our, the service become very straightforward. So you come in, welcome. Let's jump into the conversation. And the conversation is over and we do the, you know, normal things, just like some housekeeping stuff, announcements. We do communion. And we hang out and go home. And the interesting thing is like that, the culture then became that people start going out to say, yeah, the church, the bar is different. That's the number one thing people say. Like it is different. We say, well, this is not our traditional service, right? So, and I think that is, I think that's the value they're bringing. So we tell people like, our church, the bar, our gathering, our assembly really on Sundays is for people who gave up in the church, but do not give up on God.
Yeah.
And that's usually the people that are coming in, right? So we see a lot of people coming in, like they got hurt by the church. For some reason, and or they be in church for in the past, and they're coming back 20 years later. We have a story of this guy who came like 20 years later. He just for the first time stepped back into a setting that feels like it's a church, it's a spiritual conversation for him, and he's trying again 20 years later, right? So. And I think that's what's happened. People invite them, but I'm telling you, the people that attend the church, the bar regularly now, not one of them is it's people that started the church, the bar 5 years ago. And these are people that came and stay. Like they like, this is my community. This is my community. I want to be part of this. And we do these conversations every week, if not every day now.
Yeah, dude, that's so sweet. So I just got to say, a communion at church at the bar, that's got to cut into profits, right? Or are you guys still using grape juice?
Look, no, we don't use top shelf. We don't.
Everybody listening to this. Everybody listening to this, if you, it's a joke, okay? It's a joke.
No, but see, Stuart. No, Stuart. Let's cut it right there. Because see, That's the problem. Like,
let's go.
If this bothers you, you really have an issue with the gospel, right? If this bothers you, because you really have an issue with the gospel, because. None of those things that if people get bothered by, you know, are you drinking during this? No, we don't. But guess what? You know, in 2 weeks, I'm a pastor. At the same time, I run a bourbon club. And every month we have bourbon tastings. So guess what? We open the bourbon tasting on Wednesdays when we do it. I'm the one leading it. Hey, we're going to do a bourbon tasting. Here's how it's going to work. I'm Joey. I'm operations manager. Also, if you walk around here, you probably saw the sign church, the bar. I'm the pastor. And boom, people are like, hold on. Are you doing bourbon tastings? And are you also the pastor? And you will not believe after the whole, you know, experience is done. I mean, hanging out there, talking to people, and I'm no longer talking about bourbon. People come and say, hey, talk about this church thing. You're really meeting here? Mm-hmm. How does it work? What do you do? That's what I'm saying. Like, we as a church get so caught up into some rules and some preconceived ideas that it was sometimes not biblical at all. And gets people just, you know, in their edge. In the, listen, this is nothing here is, you know, unbiblical. Nothing about this is unbiblical. We just literally just going to meet people where they are. Yes. And look up, think about this. I have a gigantic target in my back. Gigantic target. Because the staff is looking up to me to say, at what point I'm going to drop and fail? You know, at what point I'm going to give up on my principles? Because they're watching. So when there's a conflict, when there's an issue, when there's a very abusive customer, they're watching to see how I'm going to respond to it. And it's kind of interesting because I have to watch myself because I know I'm being watched. They're like, at what point are you going to lose your principles as Christians? And you're going to just gather these people that are being abusive to you verbally because it's a bar. You're going to get somebody here and there that's just going to, you know, and I think that is the opportunity though. But I think it's so funny because, you know, people like, oh, no, this is, you know, we drink wine during communion. No, I tell people, my communion is better than yours because so I get them,
top shelf. Going.
Exactly, right? Now, top shelf is just for the pastor. We do like this, like very. I mean, it's so interesting to me that in 2024, the church is still getting caught up into this conversation.
Yeah.
Of, you know, let's pretend that we don't do this in our house. Like, let's pretend we don't do these things at home. And the reality is, that's not what the issue really is. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to that. Now, I understand for some people, like, why are you going to do church at the bar where it's so easy for people to fall? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like somebody that has, we had one person that, you know, just got out of alcoholism and like, I want to be part of this church. I cannot be in there. Mm-hmm. And that I understand that can be a challenge for some people. They're trying to, you know, step away from something that's destroying their lives. And that's a place where, you know, we sell things that can facilitate that. So that is one of the challenges that we learn to deal with and then we learn to have those conversations. But the thing I think, the primary thing that as the church to bar, as we do, I think we don't hide behind those subjects. Mm-hmm. We don't hide behind it. We'll have these conversations front center. We don't have any reason to hide behind it. So I think is, you know, you look at this biblically from every angle that you look at it and what the church should be doing and how the church should be doing. And when you center everything into love your neighbor, nothing else really matters. The thing that I'm most satisfied to be part of the church, the bar, is how can we disagree with each other in a discussion and how much we really care for each other afterwards. Like we have conversations on Sunday sometimes that people deeply disagree with each other. And as soon the service is over, they're like, oh, let's go grab a beer together. Or let's go talk about this thing. Or I want to do this thing this week. And you want to literally, like, people are just in community all the time. And I was like, so it's possible to be in a community, in an environment where we don't agree 100% with each other, but we still can relate to each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of that environment that allows you to be authentic, to be honest, and preserve the main thing, that's the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's so much to that I just absolutely love, just because like you're the guy that you mentioned that walked away from the church for 20 years, right? And now he's getting involved with you guys at church or the bar. This is probably somebody, like, again, I don't know his story. You know it better than I do. But my assumption would be that he's probably somebody that was involved in the church, that he was probably feeling this tension of, like, man, I see on paper, I see in scripture where it says that the church is supposed to be this community of believers that are supposed to be on mission to know Jesus, make Jesus known. But part of my lifestyle is being told that, like, I can't do this. But biblically speaking, I see that on paper. And so he's hearing one thing and he's seeing something completely different. Yeah. And again, like, this is years worth of, I mean, you're almost talking centuries worth probably of just churches that are making mountains out of molehills. And every church has their own conviction, right? Like, I fully understand.
Yeah.
Like, a pastor or leadership, they have convictions about certain things and they're more than welcome to lead their church in that direction that aligns with their convictions for sure. Like, there's my stamp of approval on it. Like, if you're listening to this and you're a senior pastor or you go to a church and you're like, man, I'm so against drinking. Cool. Then be against it. Like, that's completely fine.
Yeah.
That's your conviction and hold strong to that. I firmly, agree with that you can hold to that conviction. But for somebody who hasn't been going to a church for 20 plus years, there's a reason for it. And there's something about the biblical church that he's probably seen in scripture that he's probably seen modeled at church at the bar. And that resonates with somebody in the sense of, and this is where you and I most likely have like that kindred spirit because of what you're doing at church at the bar, what I do in VR. It's that idea of like, man, the church wasn't really supposed to be not just the ecclesia, right? Not just the gathering of people, but also the sent out ones at the same time and going into the places that the light isn't at, right? Like, we're supposed to be the salt and light of the earth, you know, attached to the power of Jesus, going into places in order to make Jesus known. And so the fact that you guys have been doing church in a bar for 5 years, and again, as you've mentioned, there's been like this shifting of how we do things. What does it look like? How do we best reach people in this area? How do we best communicate the gospel in this area?
Yeah.
That's adapted over time. But there's something something that is beautiful of the idea of the church going into the unreached places, which that's what the church was always supposed to be, right? Like, we see church plants all over the place going into communities and trying to be a beacon of hope, a lighthouse, if you will, of like, hey, come here. This is where you will encounter hope. This is where you can encounter Jesus. But sometimes we don't see churches going into the places that that the people who won't come to the church are. And that's what's fascinating about what you guys are doing with the Church of the Bar, is because most likely you have ran into, in the past 5 years, you've probably ran into thousands of people, tens of thousands of people that would never walk in through the physical church building because they feel like their story doesn't belong there. They feel like their story belongs in a bar. And it just so happens that bar also has a church in it. So
exactly. That's a good point, because that's a great way to see it. Their story belongs to a bar, and then when they walk in there, they're going to find something different. We have a young man, his name Isaac. You know, two and a half years ago, it's a Christmas season. He walks in the bar, week of Christmas. He walks in the bar, determined to get drunk. He two kids he could not see. One kid on the way, his wife got him a restraining order, so he could not even see the birth of the kid was coming. Didn't have a job. He's living in somebody's garage as a favor and trying to make, like, so he nothing was working for him, nothing. So he walked in a bar the Christmas week, and he's determined to, like, I'm just going to go get drunk and be done. thinking about all my problems. And he sees the sign. He's sitting there and he asks the bartender, say, what's this thing, church, the bar? And the bartender explained to him, now let me pause you just for a second so people understand. The number one, my number one group, let's say hospitality team for the church, the bar, is actually my bartenders and my servers who don't attend the church, the bar. Because they know about it and they talk about it. So when they ask, the people ask the questions, they're the one thing. Here's what's happening. Here's how they do it. They're the ones explaining the whole thing. So I was not there. The bartender explained to this guy, said, no, these people, they meet here. They have these conversations about the Bible. The pastor goes here and all this stuff. And the guy was like, it really hit him. He was like, you know, I can try that here. Mm-hmm. Which that means he used to go to church before, but life is going so bad that he did not think. And that's what should be the alarming to us. Why somebody like him who grew up in church, why on earth, when life is so bad, he didn't think that he could go back to that church the way he grew up, mm-hmm. and find the help he needed. Mm-hmm. And he looked at the signs at church, the bar, said, well, no, I can try this one. And then you fast forward from that day, that Sunday he came. And you fast forward 2.5 years now, he got married again. He regained the rights to see all his kids. Mm. He owns 2 companies.
Wow.
And I don't want people to understand that he did that because he started going to church. He did that because he finally found a community that he could reconnect, find some roots that would allow him to reestablish his relationship with God and allow him to hear from God and see what God wants to take him. We didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't give him any, you know, roadmap or anything. No, he just found a place that he found community. He found relationships and established him a solid ground again. I think one of the strongest examples of Jesus, and I think most of us, most Christians, bypassed. It took me like probably 50 years to get there. Is when you read the passage of Jesus' encounter with Matthew, right? He's coming down the road. There's a tax collector right there, and the tax collector is somebody that most people, Jews, no matter where you came from, you hate it. Because they're taking your money. And there was no really much of a guide. They can take whatever money they wanted. So tax collectors back in that day, it was very, 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 like, they're very hated people. Nobody liked them. And here's Jesus comes in, calls him, and says, follow me. But he didn't say, follow me. At that moment, just say, come and follow me because you're going to become my disciple. Follow me, and here's the key. We're going to go to your house. We're going to eat your food. We're going to drink for your wine, and we're going to sit down and talk. And Matthew goes and invites a lot of his friends, who are also tax collectors, to sit at the table. And the disciples are just like hanging out by the window saying, are you kidding me right now? Mm-hmm. You're really going to sit down with this guy? And have this conversation, and just demonstrating to them that is it. If you want to reach people, if you want to change people's lives, go and sit at their table. Go where they are, sit at their table, eat from their food, and have the conversation with them. And I really like, when we look from that perspective, that's exactly what we're trying to do at the Church of Bar. Like, we're here. You know, we'll sit with you. You know, we can share bread together and a drink, and let's have a conversation. And let's talk about this. And you gain so much knowledge by open up to someone and being willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our services became so different, because people realized that the church, the bar, we're willing to listen to them. No matter where they come from. So like, I tell people, no matter your background, your walk of life, where you come from, I don't care. When I ask a question, if you feel like, you know, I got an answer, you want to have an opinion, just say it. And if you don't agree, we don't agree. That's okay. But at the end of the day, I tell people at the bar, at the church, the bar, I'm not the authority here. The Bible is the authority. I'm just a mall cop. I don't have a gun. I cannot arrest anybody. All I got is a flashlight. That's all I have. And the Bible is the ultimate authority here. That's it, right? So it's side notes, like last Halloween, they made me dress up like Paul Blart and a mall cop. And, you know, there's some photos going around, but it's a, but that's it, Stuart. Like it's like, let's get engaged with people. Let's have these conversations. And this is not an easy task. Like it took time. It took years to build the relationship and build the relationship with the community. You know, so we're in the position we are today, because of that time, because of all the work we put into giving time to people, giving time to the community. And now, you know, the restaurant's about to expand to a second location. And the owner said, you know that we're going to have to put the church bar there too. So as they build a new location, they're already building with the mindset of like, well, all the infrastructure you need to make sure we got meetings Sunday mornings and all that. So as funny as sounds, we already started an expansion plan where I'm not the only one teaching. I have two other people with me now rotating in the teaching. So one of them is already assigned to go to this other location when we open. And you know, and we, I know this is gonna sound like it's a jab, but like it's so good to go to church in the morning. I'm not worried about attendance. I don't care how many people are coming. We don't worry about any of that. We just come in. Whoever's there, I tell people, like Wednesday nights we call meet up, and I tell people either I'm gonna be here talking with myself or whoever show up, we're gonna talk. I'll be here. If you want to talk, show up, and we'll have a discussion, right? So, yeah, I think we need to change. And Stuart, I hope there's pastors listening to this. Here's the part that really, really personally hurts me, is to see the established church refusing to partner with these opportunities. Like our church, the bar, could be a lot stronger if we had partnerships with more established churches. So there's different types of supports, right? so there's actually a sense of we're working together. Initiatives like that is a huge opportunity for the established church to do evangelism. Like just send your people out to do this kind of stuff. They're going to do things differently. Just send them out. Don't worry about the attendance. Don't worry about the you know, your financial return on it. Just send people out to do what we're supposed to do. And we see the churches today really, really reluctant to do that. They want people just come in. Whereas, you know, make the investment, literally make the investment to partner with initiatives like Church the Bar and many others. I can tell you right now, like I've been talking throughout the years, so many people take initiatives like this, just not too far from us, literally like a mile from the art bar. They just opened up a cigar lounge. Guess what? It's owned by three pastors.
Nice.
And guess what? Tuesday nights, they just announced publicly, Tuesday night's going to be Bible study night. Right? But guess what? They're doing this with no support from established church. Mm. They're doing that 100% on their own. That means, like, I would love to do that. And I don't want to stretch too much the conversation, but let me give an example of what I mean with that. I got the job March last year. May 3rd, the restaurant caught on fire.
Okay.
So imagine that, kind of like, you know, I just quit my job. I got this new job. Month and a half later, the restaurant caught on fire. And here's really was a really wake up call to me. I got five messages from five local businesses that I never heard of before. I personally got these messages. And they like, Joey, I know you work at the bar. I know you do this church to bar thing. If you guys don't have a place to meet, I open my space to you guys. I even provide the coffee, but don't think you don't have a place to meet.
Wow.
And Stuart, I never got a call from any local church.
Wow.
And what hit me, it was not that they didn't call me as a church to church. Not one church stressed their hands to the business to say, are you guys okay? Do you need anything? So we went through a remodel for 30 days. We didn't hire outside. We used our own staff to remodel the restaurant for 30 days, every day. Not one day we had to buy lunch for staff. Local businesses provide lunch every day, different businesses. Not one church. Not one church stepped up to offer, to talk, to reach out, anything. The biggest donation from a church to the staff, because the staff, imagine, the staff's not getting tips, so they're not getting to pay well that month. So there's different fundraisers. The largest church amount donation is from only one church. It was from the Church of the Bar people. The Church of the Bar people raise money to give to the staff. I'm saying, I know people may be turned off by this, but the reality is, if a local establishment, like if a local business in your area go through something like this, can you imagine the powerful statement that would make for the church to knock their door and say, hey, are you guys okay? Do you need a meal? We're going to meet. We can help you guys with something, or we can send some volunteers to help clean up. We can like do something to show what the love of Christ looks like. And do to your local community, like show them that we are here for them instead of we're just here. If you want anything, come knock our door and we'll see what we can do about it. Because that's the message you were sending. So it was a tremendous wake up call to me in terms of the role of the church in our communities today and why I think the church is losing so much impact is because we stopped going out. We stopped going to see the people's tables and have a meal with them and listen to them. And just like Jesus did, right? And I think we lost that. But we still want to have this big impact in our communities. We won't if we don't show up. If we don't show up, we're not present. Anyways.
Yeah. No, yeah, thanks for sharing that. That I believe that's good. I believe that people need to hear that. And I also believe that the churches that are going into the communities and doing those things like reaching out to businesses that are going through a tragedy or, you know, whatever the community is going through a tragedy. You know, I commend those churches for doing it, you know, like they're really making the effort, not just saying, hey, we're here for, you know, the holy people to show up, but we're here to be an establishment within the community to make our community better, even if that means one business at a time. Now, my wife and I have talked about this before. She's an athletic director with the local private Christian school here where we're at. And as the athletic director, I hear from her perspective, like all the things that she needs help with, like volunteer at the gate in order for ticket sales, volunteer at concessions in order to have funds in order to go towards new uniforms and all that kind of stuff in the coming seasons and whatnot. And it was one of those, like, in just one of those conversations that her and I had, it really just kind of dawned upon me. It's like, dude, how cool would it be for like the local church to like adopt a school for a year? And instead of like the athletic director or school board or whoever principal trying to find people to staff and volunteer for these different events, the church is the one that's stepping up and saying, we've got the hands and feet to do it. That way the parents can enjoy the sporting, watching their kids or, you know, whatever. And it takes all the stress and pressure off of, you know, somebody like my wife, the athletic director, going, who's going to be running this? Who's going to step up and run this? Because she knows that the majority of the people who are going to be there at the sporting event anyways are the parents, right? And they're not there to run concessions or take the ticket sales. They're there to watch their kids play. So we fully understand this. But man, what a major way for the church to step up and go, not only are we going to volunteer in the positions that you need help in, but we're also going to pay for concessions while we're there. We're also going to buy the tickets to watch the games, and we're going to support the kids like none other. And so I was telling her, like, it's a small private school gym for basketball, but could you imagine if it was standing room only? Because the church said, hey, every home game, we're going to be there to support, and how much that makes waves for not just for that school, but in those kids' lives to know that they have that much support.
Oh, yeah.
So it's crazy. But there was something that you said earlier that even goes into part of this conversation that I think is super cool and important about what it is that you guys are doing. You said that you've got like this huge target on your back. Because people are waiting to see how does Joey, this pastor of a church that's at the bar who works for the bar, how does Joey respond in these high pressure, high tense situations when somebody is, you know, way out of control or whatever. And the reality is in most cases, like we think that discipleship is, hey, let's sit down at a coffee table or bar back or whatever, you know, somebody's house. Let's open up God's word and let's, you know, work through it together, which in some cases that's true. But in most cases, our biggest form of discipleship isn't by what we're able to preach to somebody or teach from God's word, but it's what we're able to show to others how Jesus is moving and working in our lives to impact others around us. And so that's what I think is really neat about even your guys' approach to this and what it is that you're doing is you're not only pastoring people who are coming to the church, but in so doing, you're actually pastoring the people who are working at the bar and the people who are watching you that now know that you're the pastor there at the bar. So, I think it's sweet, man. Again, it's like,
it is.
who is it? Is it Francis Assisi that said, you know, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary?
Exactly. It is. Yeah. It is because, like I said, I left the full-time paying ministry, but I didn't leave the full-time ministry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's everyday thing. Like, and I can tell you in terms of the end result of that is, you know, I'm not perfect. I will make my mistakes there and I have to show them how to correct myself on it. And that's a great opportunity in itself. But, you know, interviewing new employees, like now in the summer, we're going to have around 80 employees. So interviewing new employees and they know like what I do and how I do it. And they like, well, I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm an atheist. I hope that's not an issue. Like, no, not at all. Absolutely no problem at all, man. I'm just so glad you're here. You work here and do your job. And, you know, and then that same person, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, comes to me and said, so you're a pastor, right? I say, yeah. And they engage in a conversation about I'm going through this and I, you know, from your perspective as pastor, how do you, and I was like, yeah, sure. Let me explain this to you. Like how I see it. One of the most interesting conversations I had, this young lady, going through a lot in her life. She works there, very good worker. And she started a conversation with me about, you know, life has been really rough for her. Very rough. 3 kids, no husband, trying to make ends meet on her own with 3 kids, make things work, having a battle, you know, there's a battle there in custody and all that stuff. And so, And things don't work out. Like there's always something happen, or the kid gets sick, or and she doesn't have the resources, or now she has to leave her shift because, and then she leaves her shift, she's not making money, right? And so one morning she was opening the bar, I was there, and she came to me and said, Joey, you know I don't believe anything you believe. I said, yeah, I understand that. And she said, but can I ask a question? I said, absolutely. She said, do you think I can be given more than I can handle? And I said, you know, I believe that because I think you're a highly capable person to handle anything that comes before you. I said, you know, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe what I believe to be a good person. You don't have to believe what I believe to make, you know, good choices in your life. You can make those choices regardless of that. I said, the difference is this. When things go wrong in my life, I go to my faith because that's my support system. So for that reason, I never feel alone when I'm going through a difficult situation because I know where I can go to. And with that faith comes a community of people that supports me on that. So my question to you is, what's your support system? And man, she just broke down crying. Because that's when she realized, start to realize what faith is really all about in our lives. So, you know, and she's like, I need a support system. I was like, I think you need one. And I'm not trying to force you to do one, I believe, but I think you need a support system. Now, if you want to hear about what that support system looks like to me, I'll tell you about it. I don't want to impose on you. And it was interesting enough. She's like, can we talk about that another time? I got to go, but I really want to hear about it. And that's it. Like, and then we had so many conversations after this, where she actually asked about the Bible and she asked about, why do you believe the way you believe? And she realized one thing, I'm not forcing this on her. I'm not pushing this on her. And I told, you know, one of the things I told her right up front, I said, hey, it's not my job to convert you to anything I believe. So that's, let me just tell you this. It's not my job. She's like, what do you mean? I mean, people say they have to like go out and convert people. Nah, that's not my job. That's your problem. That's your, you know, that's your decision. That's your personal life. So I'll be here for you anytime you need, anytime you want. And I'm here for you because you matter to God. And because you matter to God, you matter to me. And she starts to now be very more like soft towards, you know, talking about it. Like there's no barrier. She's still not fully like a believer, but she doesn't feel any obstacles to come and have a conversation. And that's somebody who like months and months ago started by saying, I'm an atheist. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't believe in any stuff. And I think that's the tension that we have today. And I think there's a lot of ministries out there. There's a lot of established churches doing amazing work, connecting with the community, doing an amazing, different approaches to evangelism. There are. And I think churches should expose more what they do to show other places, give examples of what they're doing. But at the end of the day, if we can lead our churches, what I mean lead our churches is lead the people that go to our buildings to know how to have these conversations, to know how to connect with people where they are. Man, that'll make a gigantic difference in the outcome in our society.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, don't be afraid of these conversations. Don't be afraid of the tension that comes with our culture. Just have the conversation and show people that it's up to you what you want to do, but here's where I am, and here's why I am where I am, and I'm okay with that. And regardless of all of it, you matter to God, so you matter to me. I think people are open to that.
Bro, you're preaching, man. Like, you're pastoring me right now. I love it. Joey, as we do bring this podcast to a close, though, I want to highlight something that you just said that I think really resonates well and describes well what Church of the Bar is, and what you just said about this conversation that you've been having with this female coworker. You said that for her, like, she hasn't converted to Christianity, but the obstacles to getting into the conversation have moved away. They're getting knocked down in the process. And I think for a lot of people, what you guys are doing with Church at the Bar is exactly that. You are eliminating the obstacles for people to get into the conversations or find a way to ask the questions that they've always had about faith or that support system, you know, whatever it is, especially around like Christianity and whatnot. And so for anybody who is listening to this, watching this, that's what I'm hoping that they're hearing, is that the ultimate goal for like really any of us isn't necessarily having the right answers to the questions that people have, but it's just creating a way to eliminate the obstacles that are getting in the way for other people to hear the good news that there is a God who is for them and not against them, right? I think for many of us, we feel this intense pressure, especially when it comes to like the scary word of evangelism, is like, how do I have the conversation with somebody if I don't have all the answers, right? Like, what if they ask a question that I just don't know where to point or direct them to? And I think that the biggest thing for us in the process of that is just understanding, like, you don't have to have the answer, but if you can at least eliminate the obstacle that's keeping them from getting to it, then that's where, like, you don't win, but Jesus wins in the process. Like, it's that ability to say, I don't have the answer, but we can chase after it together, or I can maybe introduce you to somebody that does. But the relational aspect, and I think that's what you're getting with the employees, right? And the people that are coming to the Church or the Bar, is you're creating relational equity with people that are causing all those barriers to go down. Yes. So dude, what you guys are doing, again, probably nothing that you would have ever expected in your 20 plus years of like full-time ministry experience to ultimately be landing into and doing. And more like, you said it, dude, like, you guys are looking at the expansion of this bar, and along with this expansion into new territory, you guys are also taking the church along with it. Like, you guys are church multipliers. You are church planters in the process. And so this might be like the gross way of saying it, but it's really interesting how what you guys are doing, the church is like this, not virus, but like this leech that's attached to, like, I'm just going to attach myself to this movement that's going on. And, you know, we're going to be, you know, light in this area as well. Like, I love that. I think that's a, oh man, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Is it Henry Blackburn? That said, just ask God where it is to reveal to you where he's moving, and then ask if you can join him along in the process. Like, that's the beauty. And that's kind of what I see right there, is like, some people are seeing, oh, this bar is really successful, and they want to open up a new location. And for believers, we're sitting there going, no, God has a kingdom assignment, and he's just allowing a bar to come along with it in the process.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. That is true.
Joey, if anybody wants to get a hold of you to kind of learn more about what's going on at Church at the Bar and what you're chasing after, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Man, they can contact me. I'm on social media everywhere. I think I can give you all that information that you can post on the absolutely. I love connecting with people. I've been talking to quite a few people lately for the last few years about this. I mean, there's more ministries. We're not unique in a sense of, you know, doing this differently. There is so many ministries like similar to what we're doing. And I just encourage people to go and explore and see what people are doing out there to reach people where they are. But absolutely, I'm on all social medias, Instagram, X, Facebook, and I'll share with you, like, to put on the chat all those links, because I was not good when I started all this, so they all have different names, which, you know, I should have done a better job with that. You know, it's one thing, but I was trying not to, you know, it's not like I was trying to create my own brand about it. Like, I don't think anybody's going to buy my brand. So...
Well, probably now, dude.
Is that? Oh, I don't think so. But, you know, remember, I'm still like a bar manager. I don't think many pastors are going to be searching me down for many stuff. But other than that, man, I appreciate the opportunity, though. to be here with you, have this conversation, reconnecting with you. And I just to finalize, Stuart, I have not forgotten the digital aspect of it. And we're looking at the place of digital opportunities through the microchurch model. So I have not given up on the digital aspect of a digital ministry, but my perspective now is like, okay, how can we do this, right? How can we have these conversations? How can we open up space? How can we meet people where they are and create those opportunities online? So I'm still exploring that.
Yeah. Love it, dude. God's going to do awesome, amazing things in different avenues. So Joey, thank you so much for coming on the Stew on this podcast. And for all of you, I'll have those social links and everything to Joey there in the show notes. So if you want to connect with him more, that's where you can do it. But for this episode, thank you so much. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Stew on this podcast. Until then, be blessed.